Hello everyone. Welcome to Sunday Church at Home. I'm so glad that you've gathered together. I'm so glad that we are living in a day and age where God is in our lives. I'm so glad about family, and I trust that you're already feeling at home in the various locations that you are gathering this morning. And I pray that there is a certain expectancy in your heart for what God wants to share from His Word. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. I believe God's going to share something very, very significant to us and for us. And let me just say that this is part one of two. Next week, we're going to be continuing with part two of this particular message. But I believe from the Holy Spirit that some of the stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you today is so significant for the day and age in which we live today. And of course, we know all the stuff that's happening. We know things are accelerating and not getting any better. But we know that God is on the other side of this. So I pray that God, by the Holy Spirit today, will give you a sense of security, a sense of peace, and of course, His added blessing. So let's pray that the Lord will help us with the message today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the wonderful opportunity and privilege of coming around Your Word once again. We thank You, Lord, because You are alive and well, and because You are alive and well, our faith in You is alive and well. And so I pray for everybody listening right now, in the various homes, various locations of this church family. Lord, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You will teach us, You will enlighten our minds and hearts. You will help us to hear what You are saying to us. Help us, Lord, to put into practice, Lord, the truths that come out of this. And Lord, we pray that Your blessing will be over and on us today. Lord, let us leave today knowing that You have spoken to us. You have ministered into our hearts and our lives and our spirit. So that's our desire, Lord. And we pray, have Your way and let it be for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let me read a scripture for you. This is our text for today. Jesus said to His disciples, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." A gift of peace. Beautiful. "Not as the world gives do I give you." In other words, it's a different kind of a peace. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let me give you a little bit of a context here, because we need to know what's happening in order to get a feel for what Jesus is saying. In terms of context, not long after this passage, Jesus gets arrested, and of course the crucifixion follows this. The lives of the disciples are about to change forever. Their world is about to fall apart. Their spirits were going to be totally smashed and shattered. Their hopes about the future were going to be totally dashed. So there's a sense of despair that's going to come upon the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus. So Jesus, knowing this, gives them this assurance. And not only does He foretell troubled times ahead, He also equips them with what they need to overcome. And that's the beauty of today. Not only is Jesus in control of the future, our God is a God of the past, a God of the present, and a God of the future. Not only does He know what's going to happen with the crisis that's in the world, not only does He know that we as vulnerable human beings are going to be affected by it, but He gives us an assurance that if we do what He tells us to do and receive what He tells us to receive, we're going to be overcomers. Today, I'm here to feed your faith and your trust in God. Because I know this, if you feed your faith, your fears will starve. Conversely, if you feed your fears, your faith will starve. So today, I want you to get ready. Buckle up. I want you to get ready for some spiritual protein-packed faith food. Spiritual protein-packed faith food. We all know that we're headed into unprecedented troubled times, difficult times, uncertain times, frightening times for many people. At best, people will come out of this gloomy, with a degree of loss. Everybody's going to lose to some extent. It'll be bad in more than others, and circumstances will vary in different people's lives. But on the worst end of the spectrum, this is the stuff of terror, the stuff of nightmares, leading to hopelessness and despair for so many people. However, I've got good news. I want you to tell somebody next to you, good news is coming. Good news is coming. I've got good news. Just as Jesus equipped his disciples in order to enable them to navigate uncharted waters that were going to come, so too Jesus today equips us to navigate the uncharted waters ahead of us. Let me begin with a question. What is the most important single factor, single thing that we need from God in facing an uncertain future? What could that be? Let me suggest an answer, and I want to suggest this answer quite strongly. I believe the answer is that we need God's peace. We need God. Think about this. We need God's peace. In order to get this, we need to learn to trust him. We need God's peace. And to get it, we need to learn to trust him. In our text, Jesus said to his disciples, I gift you with my peace. You see, it's a unique kind of peace that you can't get anywhere else. You can't just go somewhere and get this kind of peace. You can't substitute the peace with some other kind of peace or some other kind of thing that will substitute for that peace. You can't look for it in other places. This is a unique kind of peace that only comes from one source, Jesus himself. Here's the problem. The problem is that when things go wrong, we naturally are prone to fear. And that's a natural reaction. You know, things go wrong, we don't know what's happening, and all of a sudden the adrenaline kicks in, we begin to be fearful, and we begin to, you know, fright or flight and all that sort of stuff. However, according to Jesus, he tells us that we have the capacity to block this fear by trusting in him and believing in him. He says to us, let not your heart be troubled. Let not this fear grip your life. If he tells us that we are able not to allow it to affect us, then we're able. Then we're able. Let not. Even though we're prone to fear and the trouble that comes with us, so forth. But he says, if you trust in me, if you believe in me, you can receive the gift of peace. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He repeats it, verse 14, let not your heart be troubled. Then he adds, neither be afraid. This is so important because if you don't let God and his peace reign in your heart. If I don't let God and His peace reign in my heart, Jesus says, my heart will be troubled. Not might be, it will be troubled. Not only that, your heart will be afraid. Let not. You see, these are two different but related consequences of fear. Trouble and fear. Trouble and fear. Trouble here means to be agitated, to be stirred up on the inside, to have an inner perplexity. The stuff that's happening in people's lives all over the world. They're troubled, troubled. It's a condition of murky confusion, of despair and anxiety. And it's plastered all over the news. It's plastered in people's faces. It's plastered on their reactions. There's confusion, fear, anxiety taking over all over the world. To be afraid, and this word afraid, in this particular context, Jesus uses a word that's only used here. It's a very unique kind of afraid. It means to have an irrational fear that leads to dread and paralysis. An interesting kind of fear. It's the worst kind of fear, because when a person is full of dread and it paralyzes him, you're paralyzed by fear, you're incapacitated. You can no longer do anything. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And so Jesus says, I don't want you to get that kind of fear. I want you to believe in me. I want you to trust me. I want you to receive my peace. Not any peace. Not the kind that the world offers, because the world can't offer you this kind of peace. My peace. The Greek word for peace here is to join together, to tie and to make whole. So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, my peace will bring you healing and holiness, and wholeness in the face of confusion, anxiety, and despair. That's my peace. It's a unique kind of peace, a powerful kind of peace. It will bring you healing and wholeness in the place of confusion and anxiety and despair. Wow, what kind of peace? We need that. Especially this day and age, we need that. Not only do we need it, the people around us need it. Our families need it. Our friends need it. Our work colleagues need it. And I pray that God will equip us with this peace in order to give away that same kind of peace. At this point, I need to assert and reaffirm an all-important truth. I want you to listen carefully. God is sovereign. I want you to go ahead and tell somebody nearby, God is sovereign. He always was. He always will be. He didn't all of a sudden realize, what? Oh my, oh, what on earth is happening? Coronavirus, what's that? Oh, what are we going to do? No. This did not catch God by surprise. He knew all along. We didn't see it coming, but God knew all along. He didn't get sidetracked by an unforeseen crisis in the world. God is still on the throne. Shout amen. I'll shout amen all by myself. God is still in control. God is still faithful. He promised that He will never leave us and that never forsake us. That's His promise to us. God is still working all things for our good. And the Bible said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? That's our God. He's sovereign. He's in control. So, firstly, we need to face the future with the right attitude. And the attitude is one of faith and trust in the Lord. We need to daily reinforce our trust in God. Not weekly, not monthly, not whenever. Please, daily. Reinforce your personal trust in God. Secondly, we need to receive for ourselves individually God's peace. God's unique, one-of-a-kind peace. The kind of peace that rebukes fear, stills the storm, and heals the hurt. I'm going to take a few moments to explain why and how we receive that peace. But next week, let me give you a precursor. Next week, we come to point number three. We're only going to cover those 2 points today. Next week, we come to point number three. Let me just say something about this. Point number three is we need to respond to God's testing. So, point one, we need to reinforce our trust in God. Point two, we need to receive for ourselves God's peace. But point number three, we need to respond to God's testing. Listen carefully. Believe me. Make no mistake. This is testing time. Testing time. Stop asking why and begin asking what. Ask, what is God saying to me? Because this is a hearing test, this is a heart test, and this is also a faith test. We need to listen for what God is saying to us. More next week. Back to point number two. Point number two, as we stated a few moments ago, is we need to receive God's peace. So there's a question that comes out of this. Why is it that we're able to receive God's peace at all? Why is it that we are able to receive this peace? The answer is quite simple, because God makes it available and it's a promise. We are able to get it because it's there. God makes his peace available and God has promised to us his peace. You see, God's peace is not trivial pursuit. You don't have to chase it around and never find it. No. It's not a guessing game with God. His peace is real, powerful, unique, and able to change your situation despite your circumstances. God's peace. So, Psalm 91 is a psalm that's been quoted all over the place. I love Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms. It's a unique psalm, a powerful psalm, and of course a psalm that speaks to our circumstances right now. I love it. But I see a problem. And the problem that I see is that in some aspects of this psalm, Psalm 91, lots of detail is being highlighted and all the good stuff. And I believe in all that good stuff. And I'm going to mention it in just a moment. And great highlights. And we say amen to the stuff that God's promising us. Good stuff. Very important for us to understand it and know it and acknowledge it in our lives. But equally important and probably more important than just the good stuff that God is telling us and the promises of Psalm 91, equally and probably more important, there are aspects of this psalm that are being neglected. Here's the problem. If we neglect the latter aspects of this psalm, and I'm going to tell you what they are in just a moment, we then become deceived and live on assumptions. Let's not do that. I want us to live on truth. I want us to live on understanding and the application of the truth of the Word of God, and therefore invite all of the good stuff that God wants to give us. So, the psalmist gives us some powerful and amazing reassurances of God's promises for all of his people. Have a look at this. You read it for yourself, and I'm sure that many of you, if not all of you, have already read Psalm 91 many times, perhaps in the last few days. And Let me reiterate a couple of these things. The Bible says, God is your refuge and your fortress. Awesome. God will, not might, God will protect you. God will guard you. God will deliver you. From what? From the devil's trap, the snare of the fowler, from terror, from attack, from the pestilence, from destruction, from evil, from plagues. God will protect you. God will guard you. God will deliver you. But please understand, this is not a blanket statement for whoever cares to claim it or declare it or says this is the way it's going to be. It's not. It's not. It comes with conditions. The conditions begin with the word because. Whenever you see the word because, we need to know that something precedes it. This will happen because of something else already in place. In other words, based on the fact that you meet certain requirements and that you are practicing certain conditions, therefore, you can expect certain outcomes. Verse 9 of Psalm 91, have a read of it for yourself. Verse 9, Psalm 91, says this, because, there's the word, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. And verse 8, 1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High is going to receive all the assurances and the promises and so on. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Wasn't it Jesus that said in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you? Because if you do, what? Abide in me, and I in you, consistently abide. If you do, then you will bear much fruit, Jesus says. And if you do, then you can ask the Father whatever you need, and he will give you what you ask. The condition is abiding. You see, the first condition for the promises of God, these powerful, awesome promises in Psalm 91, is that we dwell in him, abide, rest in him. Secondly, we see in verse 14, the first part, it says this, because he holds fast to me in love. So the first because was, because you had made me the Lord in your dwelling place. We are abiding in him. We are resting in him. We keep him close. We remain in his presence. If we abide in him, Jesus said, you abide in me and I in you, all these good things will happen. There's subsequent consequences to that. That's the first condition. The second condition is because he holds fast to me in love. Other versions say, because he loves me. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he has his heart set on me. They're saying the same thing. This word, sets his love, has a particular meaning. It means to press together, to bind in oneness. It means to attach itself to delight and desire something. So this is alluding to an exclusive love covenant with the Lord. An exclusive love covenant with the Lord. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 22:37. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Condition number two to receiving God's peace, all these promises, is this unique, powerful peace from God that we need to navigate troubled waters, is to love him with an exclusive, uncompromising love. The first condition, abide in him. Love his presence. Seek his presence. Remain in him, under his covering. Don't just go out and do your own thing and then wonder where's God. No, no, remain in him. Then it says, exclusively love him. Put him as number one in your life. Make him the center of your being. Make sure that nothing else compares to your love for him. And next, verse 14, the second part of this verse says, because he knows my name. This is Yada. Because he knows my name. Know is Yada. It means to know by experience, to know firsthand, not to hear about, but to experience firsthand. It means to recognize and discern, to be intimately acquainted. The picture here is of an alliance, a bond of intimate fellowship. My question to you is that true of you? And of course, is that true of me? Do I know him to the extent of intimate fellowship, firsthand? Or do I know about him and I hear all the stories and I come to church and they tell me about God and it's all nice, but there's no experiential knowledge of him? This is critical. This is critical. Because you know him, you've got what I've got. You see, when you've got a close friend, when you've got a buddy, an intimate friendship with somebody, everything that they are becomes yours. Everything that you are becomes theirs. This is what this is talking about. You can't come as a stranger and look for God whenever you feel like looking for God, and all of a sudden God's like Father Christmas and gives you everything you want. Because he knows my name. Condition number three is deep, intimate knowledge that results in a bond of belonging. Condition number four is in verse 15. Because is inferred here, and it says, when he calls my name, not if he calls. These people that are in covenant with God and love God and dwell in the presence of God and know God, talk to God. Because when he calls to me, I will answer him. You see, this person that loves and knows God will talk to God, will cry out to God, will pray. And God says, when you pray, you've got my ear. When you pray, you've got my ear. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. You see, God wants to glorify himself in delivering you, in helping you, in blessing you, in covering you, in blocking the destruction of the devil over your life, because he wants to magnify his glory in your life. And of course, he loves you. He doesn't want anything to destroy you. Call on him. And of course, the New Testament context of this is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where Peter says, casting all your anxieties or your cares upon him because he cares for you. Listen to me, listen to me. In this crisis, in these circumstances that we're all going through and we're all attempting to navigate, never forget, even though there might be whispers in your head and voices all around of despair, despondency, fear, anxiety, don't listen. Don't listen. Jesus tells you today, I care for you. I care for you. I care for your family. I care for your todays. And I care for your future. So, how do you get the assurance of God's peace that rebukes fear, stills storms, heals hurts, blesses and protects us against the onslaught of the enemy. How? We need to cultivate some conditions. I pray that the Holy Spirit really shouts these in our ears today, in our hearts. It's just not a matter of saying, oh, I'm claiming this and I'm claiming that. You know, let's cultivate the conditions. Let's put ourselves in a place where God will bless us no matter what. Cultivate these conditions. Make God your dwelling place. Put Him first place. Maybe you're not used to doing that. Start today. Start now. Secondly, love Him passionately above everything else. Increase the level of your love for God alone. Thirdly, get to know Him personally and intimately. I need to do that. We need to do that. We're on this journey together. Get to know Him. Have that yearning like the Apostle Paul that I might know Him. Get to know Him. There's advantages. There's blessing. Good stuff comes with knowing Him. And confide in Him all your needs. You know, you can confess to God everything. You can tell Him anything. Confess to God your weaknesses. You can say, God, I don't know where this is going to end. I don't know what's going to happen. I see no sense in all of this. There is no sense in all of this. I see no future in all of this. I see destruction. I can't see good coming out of this. I don't know. It doesn't look good. It looks actually very, very scary. God, this is it. I can't, but You can. I can't change things. I can't do anything about the circumstances. I can't see ways out. But I'm glad I've got You. You can. Jesus said, hey guys, you might not understand this. Everything's going to change in just a little while. Stuff's going to happen. Your world is going to be turned upside down. And believe me, our world is turning upside down. But here's something that you need. I'm giving you My peace. My peace will help you navigate troubled waters. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be gripped by fear. Receive My peace and the blessing of God that comes with it. Family, friends, brothers, sisters, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. Let's receive it from Him and stay secure in Him. Trust Him. God's got it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the encouragement of God's Word, Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that's taking the Word and applying it into our very lives, into our circumstances, where we're living right now. Lord, we thank You because You're a God that understands. You're a God that sympathizes, empathizes with all of our fears and weaknesses and the stuff that we're going through. You know it all. So, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the amazing encouragement that it gives us. And as we leave from here to the future, to tomorrow and weeks and months to come, we need not fear. Your Word tells us not to fear. Not to let our hearts be troubled, because we can. But by Your strength, we need not. Help us cultivate those conditions that give us the assurance of Your peace that comes with Your protection, Your guard, Your strength, Your enabling, and Your victory. Help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. This week, we're going into this week holding hands with you, and we're not going to let go. We're going to cultivate your presence. We're going to love you even more. We're going to know you even deeper. Help us. Help us overcome and shout your praises for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.